Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church, for those who may be listening on the internet. And we're going to be sharing today about some other aspects and meanings of Palm Sunday and what that really means. But we're going to go to some scriptures here to share about that in Matthew 21. But I'm just making reference to Matthew 21. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on this borrowed colt of a donkey. But before all this happened, he knew he must go to Jerusalem. How many of you can identify with something that you know you must do? You know where you're heading with this. You've been told Jesus, all God, all man, God incarnate in the flesh. He knew his mission. He was born to die, redeem us from what Adam brought to us, which was death. He came to set us free from that death and restore eternal life through his life that he's going to give. But how many of you can identify, even though you've got to do something, doesn't make it easier? Doesn't make it easier. He set his face, it says in Luke 9:51, he actually set his face to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to be deterred from the mission that he was on. He did know that what they were going to do to him. It doesn't make it easier, even though you know you're going to resurrect after that. Doesn't make pinning him to that cross and the brutality. How many of you have ever seen Passion of the Christ, the movie? Unimaginable brutality. And I think Mel Gibson produced that movie. But it was uncomprehendable how they brutalized him and how the Romans, who were experts in brutality and cruelness, pinned him there. And all the brutality that took place before they even nailed him to the cross. He knew all that was going to take place. That was the physical, but also the spiritual. Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. However, thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done, Debbie, not mine. And God has good things for you. So it doesn't make it easier just because you know what you got to do. I can go to the dentist and have a root canal. It doesn't make any difference to know that I'm going to come out of there after I'm all numbed up and everything's done. Whoopee, I'm not really thrilled about going to get it done. I don't know about you, but I don't look forward to certain things. Even though I know in the end I'm going to come out of it, it doesn't make it easier. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was waiting for him to be brutalized and to be crucified and also to ascend and to be resurrected. So let's read the text in Matthew 21. Here he comes. I'll read it slowly here. Ted, this is an NIV, I believe, or American Standard Version. And I'll read it in the New American Standard. I think it'd be all right. And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples. This is so good, y'all, about how God arranges things. Not good what they did to him, but God is in control here. And watch this. Saying to them, two of his disciples, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey, and there, tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. It's amazing. Don't worry. God has got an arrangement here for what's going to go down. And he sends two of his disciples and he tells them exactly, precisely where to go, what they're going to find. And so they're going to find this donkey tied there with her foal, with the younger foal. And this is what I want you to see. To me, this is so awesome as I read this, because God knew the parents of those donkeys and the parents before them and the parents before them and the... I'm saying parents. I'm talking about the... where they came from.
Until one day, donkey after donkey after donkey after donkey came about to where these donkeys came about, and he came to this earth where he lived to be about 33 years old. And so everything is coming together. Donkey, 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 Jesus, 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 donkey, Jesus, donkey, Jesus. And the disciples going into the town to find the donkeys for Jesus, for him to get on. It all came down to a moment of time. I really have fun with reading scriptures this way, because God will not be denied a donkey of a given time to ride on at a given point in time for them to find at a given point in time. Say, it's okay, the master needs it. It's okay, it's all cool, you know. I'm not stealing it, you know, and all this. For this to all happen is just amazing. That's the God that I serve. You see, that's what amazes me. That's the God that I serve. And no Buddha, no Confucius, no Muhammad, no other Eastern philosophy, no other religion is going to have any, can't even touch God's precision. It's a joke. I mean, Elijah laughed at them for their idolatrous worship. God laughs at the futility of man trying to manipulate themselves to be a God unto themselves. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one Jesus. For all time. We're not going to do this again. This is the opportunity to do it His way. You cannot come back another life as a bug, as a frog, as a dog, whatever. You're not going to come back and improve to one day you finally pop through to enlightenment. It's foolishness. It's just crazy to think that, karma is going to get you anywhere. It'll get you nowhere but hell. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So much foolishness in the world coming against this great truth. And all he's coming to Jerusalem for is to fulfill something that he has to do. He has to be crucified and he has to ascend on our behalf that we may go with him to live forever. Boy, won't that be boring? Living forever? Every day you wake up, Groundhog Day, forever and forever and forever, just the boredom of living forever? No, I don't think so, because see how we think in our little minuscule minds. It's like you won't get bored living forever. There'll be duties and responsibilities for God's children, and there'll be, it'll be heaven assignments forever. What are you going to look like? I don't know, but you're going to have a new body. There's an image of the earthly, there's an image of the heavenly. You're going to have a new body. If you got cancer down here and you die of cancer, you're not going to be up there in heavenly cancer. You're not going to go up there having, some type of a die of a wound of somebody stabbing you to death, and you love Jesus and yet you die in war or something. You're not going to go up there with a knife stuck in your back. We're going to have a resurrected body. Jesus did resurrect, and he did show them, Simon, the doubter, Thomas, who doubted him. He showed him the holes in his... But I don't know if Jesus is always going to have perpetual holes in his hands in the kingdom. It was just at that time he showed them, this is me. This is who. This is the real me that they crucified. And then he didn't have to go any further with that. Thomas did. And he said, forgive me. But unless I see, I won't believe type of thing. Can you imagine an exact moment of time for a donkey to be acquired for him at that day to sit on was orchestrated by God. Not any sooner, not any later. He not only knew the donkey where he was going, he knew the donkey and everything about the donkey. Every sinew, every bone, every ounce of blood in that donkey, every hair on his back. He knows the hair. He has fewer to number on me, but he knew every single thing going on with this donkey. I'm just cool to me. I just thank God that he is in control. And the disciples went and found him just like he said. Heaven is going to come just like he said. Doubters will be there, Mary, in the school, in the educational system. You can't say this and you can't say that. Here's what I see. Here's what I see Satan doing to anything having to do with God. Anything having to do with Jesus. He's like, he wants to do this. Don't you say anything you want. Say Muhammad. Say Muhammad. Say Confucius. But don't say Jesus. When you get into that, that's a no-no. You see, why? Why? Our nation was not founded that way. But this is what we're morphing into.
We're morphing into lethargy. We're morphing into a spineless nation where no one stands, and knowing what they stand for limits what they fall for. They're just not standing. For the most part, millions of people love Jesus, and we need more of that. But God is in control here. God is in control. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately, verse 2, you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Wow. Now, if I was a disciple of Jesus, knowing that he told me to do things before and I did them, and he proved to me that what he said he meant and it was all true when he told me to do something, if he gave me an assignment like that, I would just go, yes, sir, I'll be right back. I don't know how you're going to do this because somebody owns them. I don't know how you're going to do this, but we'll be right back because you told us and you're not going to give us a rock for a fish. You're not going to lie to us. We'll be right back. I don't know about you, but this is how I want to live today. If you hold your hands out to receive something new that God has for you, do it with joy because God has something for you and He's going to direct you. You may not know what that new thing is on any given day. It might be a raise. I like raises. As an employer, I like giving raises. But if it's deserved, I have no question whatsoever or any doubt whatsoever that you deserve what you got. Possibly even more. But God has a plan for you. And He can be surprises on a daily basis. But this is so awesome. It, to me, for us today, make this relevant, make it real. Be excited when God says something. Walk in it, and He will do it, and you're going to experience it. For once you experience it, nobody can cut that out of your heart, ever. Once you experience it. The joy of walking with Jesus. Mary, that was an experience. You said what you said. You really felt an elation because of it, but it wasn't necessarily received. But you said it. It was received in heaven, what you said. You made a stand. And boy, you better believe, boy howdy, that is elation, and that is glorifying Jesus Christ, and He'll let you know He's pleased with that. In the wisdom of God, we speak, we walk, we move, we exist, we have our being. And verse 3, and if anyone says something to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them. Now this took place in verse 4, that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Zechariah, almost like 500 years before this, prophesies about Jesus coming to Jerusalem. Isn't that cool? We serve a God who can say things in ancient times before it even happens, and then it happens. Now, the possibility of these things happening by man's will. I want to say it this way. The possibility of the things that are prophesied about Jesus Christ by the will of man is impossible. You can't put a ratio to it. The possibility of man planning all these things that were prophesied about Jesus Christ by the will of man is impossible. It all points to Jesus. It all points to God directing every single thing going on. And He wants to direct our life as well. That's what's so awesome about this. Now, I want us... There's something else said here in verse 5. We can read this, but I want to read something else out of Zechariah 9:9 that it says exactly. I don't know if you have Zechariah 9:9, Ted, or if you're... if you got that pulled up yet or not. But anyhow, this verse 5 says about what Zechariah said. And I want to add something to that right out of Zechariah 9:9. In fact, Lisa, could you look that up? And we'll read that in just a moment. Say to the daughter of Zion, this is verse 5. Everything in verse 5 is what he said, but he also says something else. It's very important to understand. I have it right here, but Ted, go ahead and look for that if you want. I'm going to read this. in verse 5 while you're doing that. Say to the king, say to the daughter of Zion, verse 5, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And Lisa, in Zechariah 9:9, if you would read that.
This is the Amplified.
Okay, good, good.
Okay, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation, triumphant and victorious, patient, meek, lowly, and riding on a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey.
All right, that's the Amplified version. And one thing I wanted to say here that in verse 5 that it didn't say right here, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. It says in Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king is coming to you. And Lisa, you said that. He is just and endowed with salvation. He is just and endowed with salvation. He is going to be coming. He's going to be coming to you riding on the foal of a colt. He's going to be the one to do this. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king is coming, endowed with salvation. A lot of times, judges would ride on a white donkey as riding in as indicative of judgment, of you know, the ways of the law of judgment. Judges would ride on a white donkey. So here he comes, truly as judge, truly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. He didn't come riding on a stallion, a big old Roman, bad looking stallion, all decked out with all the tack and saddlery and everything, and just frothing at the mouth. You know? I don't know how many of you appreciate the beauty of a horse. But I, of all animals, other than an eagle, I am infatuated with the beauty of a horse. And in the Bible, it depicted, I think it's in the Bible, is depicting, when they get ready to go to battle, these horses on one side, and they got the horses under the cavalry, and they're doing their little horse thing, you know, like that, with froth and everything, and it's just so majestic and so powerful. But Jesus will not return again on the foal of a donkey. He came the first time as a lamb. He's coming the second time as a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's coming riding on a white horse. However, that is arranged, but that horse is there. He's all taken care of. He's all there. And he's going to be arrayed. And Jesus is going to be arrayed just like Jesus is going to be riding on that white horse. And it will not come for another crucifixion. He's not coming for them to brutalize him again. He came the first time as a lamb, gentle, humble, speaking the powerful words of God and salvation. Yes, he did. And those who believe that will see him again. He's coming for them. He's coming for his children. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are alive shall rise to be with him forever when he comes for his own. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. But Jesus will not come. This is not going to be done all again in case the world is kind of sorry. They didn't get it right. Let us do this again. Oh, I believe you now. Let's try this all over again. You got a replay. It won't be a replay. One time. You got one life to live. Once you're born of that woman, your mother, you will never die. I've said this before, but it makes sense to me. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. So if you're born of a woman, you're only born once, and you're never born again in Jesus Christ, you're going to die twice in this life and also eternal. But if you're born twice from your woman and born again into the kingdom of God, you only die once. That's this life. Then you live forever. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. If you're going to be born again, it's got to be in this life, not in some other life. And you're not going to advance. You're not going to go through stages of finally trying to pop through like some of these world philosophies.
And in the Muslim world, you're not going to have whatever, how many virgin wives, you know, for doing all these blowing up things and killing people. You're going to be rewarded for this. They're brainwashed into this, that you're going to have all these rewards in heaven. And see, they're going to have all these virgin wives. And the Bible says there's not going to be marriage in heaven. You won't be given as marriage like we know now. Because you won't be, there won't be necessity of procreating in heaven. We'll just be with him forever. So, it's just, but according to evidently the Quran, you know, they're going to have it their way, and they're going to abide by their Bible their way. And so, it's just amazing. There's only one way. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Savior. It won't be their way. And everybody can stand across from each other and say, well, we'll see. And I want to say, yes, we will see. Because we've already seen the end of the story. You read it all the way through Revelation. We've seen the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story. Because the precise God that we serve for this precise entry into Jerusalem with all these things happening is the same God that's going to precisely fulfill His plan for mankind. He's not willing that people perish. He's not willing. He doesn't want people to perish. You read in the Old Testament time and time again, time and time and time. Get it right or this is going to happen. Get it right, this is going to happen over and over again. Korah stood up, boldly defying Moses. Who do you think you are? You think you're the only one to lead us? You know, there's other people around here who got a brain too. We can hear from God. And Moses said, okay, you get your group together, your wife, your children, your goats, and your dogs, and everything else, and anybody else that agrees with Korah, you stand over here. And then Moses, you stand over here. And what happened? What did God do? The whole ground opened up. And Korah and all those rebellious people were swallowed up, and they went down into the earth. Swallowed up by the power of God. God is not mocked. And what I'm saying is they're standing across from each other. We'll see. Okay, we'll see. Yes, we will see the God that we serve. One day I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be with Him. Now, is anybody in this room right now, even though you love the Lord, are you perfect? You got it all together. I mean, you are really tight with God and you got it all together. And you can see all the faults in everybody else. You know what is so beautiful about a walk in the Lord? We all have a lot to learn. He that is greatest, be the servant of all. Be a doormat. Serve. Lay down your life for your brothers and sisters, and don't be pointing a finger. Because every finger you point at, you go, gee, I got free, I'm pointing right back at me. Don't be pointing your finger at anybody else. But we all have a life to live and a life to lay down for God to do a work in us. Don't live in the past. No matter what anyone has done to you, no matter how much stupid, crazy things you have done or what someone has done to you, it is, help me out here, fill in the blank, it is what?
Over.
It's all what?
Over.
Over! I like that. I was going to say history. Over works. What else will work?
It's done.
It's done! Behind you. I like that. It's finished. No matter what, no matter what, I wish I could redo things that I have done. But I can't. And Paul was responsible for the death of many Christians. He was responsible for the death of Stephen. Now here he is, sitting with the brothers and sisters, praying to God, one of the believers, but he murdered, he killed. How many? We don't know. And Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm the chief of all sinners. And somebody else might say, no, I'm chief. You don't know what I've done. I have a brother. Many years ago, I felt such a stirring in my heart. I had given my heart to Jesus. And it was about 12 o'clock at midnight. And I said, Gary, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you, man. I just got to talk to you. If it don't come out, I'm going to blow up. So I sat down and talked to him about Jesus, and he says, what his response was when I was talking to him, he says, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. Who am I? I can't condemn you. And so there's things in our lives we wish we would have done another way. I wish I had the brain now, back then. But stupid is what stupid does. That's what Mama always said. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But yeah, how many of you are looking forward to not being you anymore? My feet are up too. I don't want to be me. I want to bleed Jesus. I want Jesus in me for the world to see. I don't want to be me. And please forgive me and excuse me because I'm still in class and I still want to do it His way. So be patient with me. I'm still learning. But I am not going anywhere. When Shirley and I used to have a conversation, I didn't agree with her. I've told you this before. I was the coward. I just excused myself. I just go and not talk about it. And one day I didn't talk to her for, I think it was about 5 days. Uh-oh. Yeah, it bothered me a little bit, you know, and because I knew I was wrong, but it bothered her more. Because I wanted her to be hurt. I wanted her to feel it. And the more that good afternoon or morning, sir, God bless you. Good to see you. The more I was quiet, the more it hurt her, and I knew it. And that was my objective. Crazy, huh? I don't do that anymore. If we're talking and we have a conversation and I don't agree with her, I say to her, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here and we're going to be able to converse and have a conversation. We're going to look to the Lord and I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. And if she wants to step aside and have a chance, I say, no, don't go anywhere. No, you got to stay here. We got to talk. We go, we preach Jesus. We got to do this. We got to do it God's way. We cannot run. And it's the same thing with your employer. I don't like you. I don't like what you're saying to me because it's not fair. And I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And you're trying to treat me all kind. What are you doing, Mr. Boss? What are you doing? They're the bad guys. I'm the good guy. You don't understand this. Let me explain who I am. And Jesus didn't sit there and tell the world, you don't know what you're doing. What are you doing? You're crazy. You're denying eternal life. You're killing what has come to give you. The one riding on the donkey is coming to give you eternal life as prophesied, as foretold by God. Even in Genesis, long before that, He's going to bruise you on the heel, but you're going to crush His head. You know, we're talking about Jesus here. So we always want to defend ourselves. And if you don't like it, you just walk away. Coward. Chicken, bah, bah. Walk away. And that's what I did. I don't do that anymore. Stand and see, witness, experience the salvation of the Lord. Wow. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Remove this. This is not going to be fun. However, your will be done, not mine. So if Shirley was here today, she'll tell you. Nah, yeah, he did run. He just, just do his thing. He loved the Lord, but he still went away. I love the Lord with all my heart. But I just didn't like perhaps what was being said. Didn't like it. And so I've changed. But I'm not there yet. We go from what? Glory to glory. Victory to victory. One wonderful obedience to the Lord to another one. It's a pilgrim's progress, not pilgrim's digress. Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. I'm marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Yeah, you joker, you're right. Well, right now, you better be marching and shut up and quit being you and be a child of God right now if you want to do some marching. You know? So, wow. What is this? It's not about a donkey. It's about God's arrangement, isn't it? It's not about Jesus riding on the foal of a donkey, the colt of a donkey. It's about God's arrangements. Wow. Okay, this all took place because it was foretold in verse 5. It was foretold. And so, Lisa, the whole point on, I wanted to add that explanation in Zechariah 9:9 is because he was endowed with salvation.
He was endowed with salvation. Here comes salvation to Jerusalem. And boy, weren't they kind of happy here for a little while. Look at this. And verse 6, Matthew 21. And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them the garments on which he sat. And most of the multitude, in verse 8, spread their garments on the road, and others were cutting branches upon the trees, branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. I just want to say this to you. They were cutting branches from a tree, and they were laying them in the road as Jesus was coming on this donkey. On this, here he comes, and they were just, Hosanna, Hosanna, all hail to the King, and praise God, praise God. And they were laying them all on the road, Palm Sunday. You know, that's what we're getting this. But they weren't like branches from these oak trees out here, y'all. You pile up a bunch of branches from these oak trees out here, you won't even be able to get through them. It was flat, you know. It wasn't like branches from a tree that way. It was like palm fronds and willows and things that were flat in order for that little burl to get across. They weren't trying to form a hedge where it couldn't even get through. But it could sound that way, is all I'm saying. You know, cutting branches on trees and putting them in the road. We see branches here. It's not the same. Palm fronds and flat things. And most of the multitude spread their garments on the road, and others were cutting branches. In verse 9, and the multitudes going before him, and those who followed after, were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. What's Hosanna mean? Save, O save. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Not Muhammad or Confucius or Buddha, but in the name of the living God. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, Who is this? What is up with this? Nobody's ever come into town riding a donkey colt into town and all this fuss. Who is this? Can you imagine somebody coming into Tampa? Downtown or one of the main thoroughfares, Florida Avenue or Zach Street or whatever, and all these people going crazy, and they're going crazy. I would, if I didn't know the Lord or anything about God or understand anything about His prophecies or anything, and I said, what is up with this? And that's what they were saying. Who is this? And it says, who is this in verse 10? In verse 11 it says, and the multitudes were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And so a large mass of the crowd was telling him who it was. Jesus of Nazareth. This is Jesus. And so we go through, and this is the introduction of him coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, so to speak. Why? This is so important. Because I've titled our message today, Jesus Our Passover. I didn't title it Palm Sunday. I titled it Jesus Our Passover. Why? Because here comes the Passover on that donkey. He's the one that was going to be sacrificed. He's the one that was going to shed his blood. Because if you remember, in Egypt, let's look at that briefly, and then we're going to close here today with these scriptures about who this Jesus is and what this Passover is all about. If you would turn with me to Exodus 12, this is so powerful. Why is Jesus coming into Jerusalem at this appointed time, about to be crucified? Because it explains that in Exodus chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 12. This is so powerful. Why is Jesus coming to Jerusalem to be sacrificed? Just a few verses here. Let's make some sense out of this. There's a reason for it. God has a plan. In Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this is while they were still in Egypt in the Old Testament in bondage with Pharaoh, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for every household. Now, if a household is too small for a lamb, then he shall he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Jesus, a male. Jimmy, Jesus, unblemished. Not the blood of bulls and goats. Here he comes. Guess what? It's either March and April, spring of the year, March and April, right in that time frame. Here he comes on the 10th of the month, the first month of the Jewish calendar, which was Abib, A-B-I-B, and it was changed to... I got it in my take it home. Another month after the captivity. But anyhow, the first of the month, they were to take, first month of the year, they were to take on the 10th day of the month and set aside the sacrificial lamb. And they were to keep it during the, the lamb and all these things up until the evening of when the death angel was going to come and to strike everybody, the firstborn of Egypt, dead, which is what happened, except for Israel, who had the blood of his lamb placed over the doorpost and the lentils and the doorpost. They were going to be saved. So here comes Jesus on the 10th of the month, set aside, riding into Jerusalem. He's not going to be crucified that night, but 5 days later, he was crucified. This is incredible. Here he comes riding in, the sacrificial lamb, chosen of God, riding into Jerusalem on the 10th of the first month of Jewish calendar, which is March and April, right in there. And then 5 days later, they were going to take that lamb and sacrifice that lamb, and that blood is going to be redemptive blood, just like it was in Egypt. But this is Jesus this time, not the blood of a goat or ram or of the blood of bulls and goats, as Hebrews says. This is his blood. The sacrificial lamb comes riding into Jerusalem on this little humble donkey, humbling himself, knowing what they're going to do to him, on the 10th to be set aside for 5 days later to be crucified. And he knew it. That's why Exodus 12, you can read that again, is very significant because it foretold of God's perfect plan. This is mind-boggling. No other religion, no other world philosophy, no other view from anybody's figment of their imagination is going to touch the salvation plan of God. The perfect lamb, unblemished male of God, God in the flesh, God incarnate, comes to Jerusalem knowing what they're going to do to him. And right now, you wouldn't think so because hail, hail, Hosanna, hail to the Lord Jesus, and it's just Hosanna in the highest. And they're just spreading themselves. And I don't know about you all, but if you got some nice clothes on, and back then people didn't have a lot of extra clothes. They didn't have a whole walk-in closet full of clothes. But they were taking their garments off, their outer garments, and they were laying the garments as well as the palm fronds and branches before, and they were laying their clothes in, and they're going to walk on those clothes. So just kind of picture, whatever. Michelle, I don't know if you like your sweater today, your outer garments. Anybody got outer garments, you take them off and you're just going to lay them down there and just let them walk over it. Because you knew, you were paying homage, you knew who he was. It was an act of humility to do this. We know who you are. And they were really excited, but the part of the same crowd later crucified him. So there's a lot of people in churches today. They're singing, a lot of praise to the Lord and all these kind of things. But I wonder how it's all going to shake out as the days go by when it gets really interesting. Are you going to really love the Lord when there's persecution and when things not all rosy? Everything's not, you don't have what you have now, perhaps. It may be taken away from you. You may be locked up because, I may be locked up because of what I preach in God's Word. I'm not going to back off from. Because I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, not between, whatever is coming up now. It's crazy. But I believe that. I'm not going to back off from that because that's what God's Word says. So what you do to me, what you got to do. But if I deny him, I'm dead. Anyhow, I'm dead if I deny him, so I can't do that. So Mary, when we speak up, you feel the elation of the Lord because God is going like this in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Enter into the rest of the Lord. So this Sunday is called Palm Sunday because of this. But just a few days later, they're going to crucify him. So I just want to remind us today, in view of these scriptures and the prophetic utterances that God is doing, bring the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. He's not coming the next time on a little donkey. He's coming, you know, with all his glory and all the host of heaven. And he's coming for his people. He's coming to rule and reign. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus will rule and reign there. And can I sit beside you? Jesus, that's not... They asked Jesus, can I sit beside you? He said, it's not up to me. It's up to my Father to decide who sits next to me. So I think we're all going to see him close enough. You know, praise the Lord. But what a mighty God we serve here today. So I want to refer to this as Palm Sunday. You know, think about this. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let go and let God. Let him be Lord of your life and to make sense out of life, to direct you every step along the way. I don't know about you, but if I was moving to a new city, it's a little intimidating to me. I don't know anybody. I know somebody near Houston, but if I moved to Houston, I said, gee, what's up? Where do I go? But I would certainly want to be where God would want me to be. And I would want that direction, God. I'm a little fearful here. What's going on here? But as you look to the Lord, he makes a way. He makes a way. He guides us. He directs us. And he shows us the more perfect way. And so that's what we do. That's why we're on this earth. God, show me what you want me to do. And stay in class. Keep your hands open. Teach me, O instructor. Teach me the things that I need to learn. Teach me the way I need to behave. I don't want to be me anymore. I want to be you and me. And I want to live that life every day. I want to receive the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. I want him to be Lord of my life. I want to live that way. Today, tomorrow, until he takes me home, I want to be the man you called me to be. And I don't want to be that coward that just walks off and hides someplace under a rock. Caves are meant for what? Blind bats and what? Roaches and things that don't have eyes or whatever. I don't know. But not me. We're not made to dwell in a cave. We're made to live out in the open, in the light of the living God. Who said so?
Sleeping bears.
Sleeping. How many of you today really want to make it real? Walk with Jesus daily. Receive what he has done for us. Identify with him. And not be ashamed of who you are in Christ. We are not to walk around like shameful, apologetic specimens on this earth to this very liberal world. We're to carry the light of God. We're to be salt and light to them that are lost. And the Lord said something very powerful. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? A lot of these people, they think they're speaking light. They think they're speaking wisdom. But if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And that's why I want to stay humble. I don't want to walk in something I don't understand. I want to leave you alone. I'm going to let God deal with you, but God's got to deal with me, you see. So I don't understand all the times what's going on in your life, perhaps. But if I look to the Lord, he may give me something to share with you, to help you. But it's not my business to get inside you to direct you what you're supposed to do. That's not my business. It's the Lord's. But I just thank God, y'all. There's many more scriptures to share and things like that. But when you eat a meal, you just eat what you're supposed to eat, and you don't want to gorge yourself. It's not good. So we eat. We eat portions. And then we feel good about that. Then, you know, you have breakfast and you have lunch and you have supper. You know, just keep eating. Keep eating Jesus. Keep eating Jesus. You know, what if I got all this food? I better eat it all to keep me. Well, God, you don't walk that way. You walk in the moment looking to him. It's a constant IV. Drip, drip, drip. Life, 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 constant drip and of life into our vessels here on this earth. For those of you who may be listening today that are not here in this place, make it your business to know the Savior we're talking about today and lift your palms on this Palm Sunday to the Lord and receive him as Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, if you do, you got convictions about maybe some of the things, little squirrely things you've been doing, little jerky attitude that you have, God needs to hit you across the head a little bit, you know, just be open to that and let him discipline you and be the man or woman he called you to be. If that's where you are, then cry out to Jesus because that's what you need. But understand that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there is no other name under heaven that has been given to men by which we can be saved. And that name is Jesus. Keep that in mind. Make it your business to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, because who knows, it could be your last few moments on this earth. God bless you.